Welcome to the Clinical Research Coach Podcast. I'm your host, Leanne Wolke. In this podcast, we bridge conversations between industry, thought leaders, and patients, utilizing a unique perspective, integrating years of coaching with Tony Robbins, coupled with scientific and industry experience. We have vulnerable and real conversations with the goal of impacting the industry in meaningful ways. In this episode, we speak with Jessica Lansdowne. She's a mom whose son, Will, has been diagnosed with Niemann-Pick type C, a rare and deadly neurodegenerative disorder. We talk about clinical trials, how she was able to find access to clinical trials, and some of the challenges. This is a unique perspective that we in the industry need to take a listen to. Enjoy this episode. So, Jessica, tell me a little bit about your journey.
So Will was perfectly normal and healthy, or so we thought, until he was about five. And then we started seeing some slight regressions. So one of the first things we saw was some stuttering, and got him in some speech therapy. He always kind of had a difficult time learning. So of course we spoke with the pediatrician. He said, all kids are different. They learn at their own pace. Get Will in some tutoring prior to kindergarten. And Will always resisted and hated everything educational. So we started kindergarten, and very quickly they saw that he was developing slower than the other children. So put him in some RTI, and we saw more and more regression. Will started having some accidents on himself, and we had Will tested for a brain tumor. We had all these blood work done, seizure EEGs. Everything was always coming back, nothing. So they weren't able to find anything related to seizures or a brain tumor. So on the request of our neurologist, he suggested that we see a geneticist. So, of course, we followed up with that. And during that visit, he said, I just don't really see anything. Will's really socially awkward, but on a whim, I want to test for this genetic disease called Niemann-Pick type C. We really didn't even consider that. So, of course, I came home and Googled, which I know that. And I was like,
said, I want to test for Niemann-Pick type C. Did he tell you what it was?
He did not even elaborate on what Niemann-Pick was. He said that Will had would not look upward. So his eyes, like he held a baby toy, for instance, over Will's head, and Will would tilt his entire head upward rather than just moving his eyeballs upward. And they call that an upward gaze palsy. And he said that's really the only thing that would indicate Niemann-Pick type C at that time in Will. So we were close to seven at this age, at this time. So they tested him in late March of 2017. We got those results in April of 2017, and it was positive for Niemann-Pick. No history in our family of anything like that.
And I remember that because we were, you know, we knew you at that time as you guys were going through looking for answers and trying to get some sort of confirmation or validation for what you had experienced and seen in your son. So when they said he's got Niemann-Pick type C and it came back confirmatory, what kind of information were you given?
So they had us meet with a genetic counselor, and she just very simply said, there's no cure. It's fatal. There's no treatment. You might want to start planning Will's Make-A-Wish. That was devastating. They did let us know of a clinical trial that was existing at that time, but that the trial had closed. So they had given us some information and said, possibly you could reach out to the pharmaceutical company to see if they would allow Will to be a part of that clinical trial. And of course they denied.
So at that point, Jessica, did you even know what a clinical trial was? Had you ever heard of that term before?
Of the term, but it was completely foreign to me. I had no experience. No one in my family had ever had to endure something like a trial.
Mm-hmm. So here you've got a devastating diagnosis for your son. You're mm-hmm. being told to plan for Make-A-Wish.
Mm-hmm.
And your only option is a clinical trial and that you have to reach out to the pharmaceutical company.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. So I instantly did that, and they told me, of course, the trial had closed. Will's diagnosis date was April the 26th, and the trial closed March the 29th, so just a few weeks prior to his diagnosis. However, they did grant us something called expanded access.
Yep.
And just very quickly told me there's no one in your area that is doing that trial or that expanded access program. So you would need to fly to Chicago. That physician denied Will. She didn't have any openings for Will to be a part of that expanded access. I am very panicky, worry, mom.
Okay, so they told you had to fly to Chicago. Did you fly to Chicago or did you call and she denied him on the phone? How did that occur?
So very quickly, the pharmaceutical company got me in contact with other Niemann-Pick type C moms.
Okay.
And they told me of a physician or neurologist in Chicago at Rush Medical that was doing the procedure at that time under an expanded access program.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to her by email and she just said, I won't be able to see Will for several months. And that just really clearly was not enough because he was losing skills by the day. Mm-hmm. And so of course, the other Niemann-Pick mom stepped in very quickly and said, hey, I have a doctor in Texas. I have a doctor in Sacramento. I have a doctor in Cleveland that can possibly do it. So we took one of the moms up on her offer and they very quickly got us in at Dell Children's in Austin.
Okay. So how did it feel as a mom to hear you've called the pharmaceutical company? You've got this, you know, devastating diagnosis. You've been told maybe a clinical trial, but the clinical trial has closed. And then you were told, well, you've got this expanded access you should be able to get into in Chicago. And then that doctor says, no, I can't see you. And so you're relying on moms
uh-huh.
to get you into a trial. Like to me, it's a little bit, how did that feel as a mom?
I felt very discouraged and desperate. I just was not going to take no for an answer.
Right.
So I was open to any options at that point. And if the same expanded access program was available at another facility in another state, that was hope for me. That was still hopeful, even though there was no proof that this study drug worked.
Mm-hmm.
Was a bi-weekly lumbar puncture where they would withdraw the spinal fluid and re-inject into the spinal fluid with this study drug. So it was very invasive for Will. So that required him twice a month to be put to sleep and have to endure that lumbar puncture.
Okay. And that was in Austin, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And you live in Nashville.
We do. Yes. So for every 2 weeks for 10 months, Will and I flew to Austin, Texas. We would take the last flight out of Nashville nonstop into Austin, and we would get to the Ronald McDonald House was gracious and allowed us to stay there, which was within walking distance of Dell Children's. Will, we would be up at 5 o'clock in the morning. We would get to Austin around midnight. We were up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do that procedure. He would go back to the Ronald McDonald House, sleep for a couple hours, and we would take the last flight out of Austin back to Nashville on Friday.
Wow. Now, when you were in that study, did they offer you any sort of compensation for travel?
They did not, because it was part of an expanded access. Dell Children's did give us one flight that we were able to use on our initial visit.
Okay, and you said you had how many? 79 or so?
Will took had 79 lumbar punctures. Yes. However, okay, we only flew back and forth to Austin for 10 months. So okay, twice a week for 10 months. And then Will's neurologist here in Nashville at Centennial Children's took on that expanded access program.
Okay. So you had 20 flights that you had to pay for on your own.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
And so as a mom, you've got, you know, you're now having to travel to several states away. Mm-hmm. You're having to leave your family. You're having the cost of airfare. You know, you were able to stay at the Ronald McDonald House, so that's great. What was the impact of that on your family and on you emotionally, physically, all of that?
Wow. I think for the family, it was very emotional. That's really all I can say. But there was zero hesitation when we knew that this was Will's only option, our only hope at extending his life. So we just really did what we needed to do. It was after that 10 months, you didn't realize quite the toll that it took on your body. But yes, it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. And Will became so anxious when we would arrive to the Nashville airport, he would start vomiting. So he knew that what was happening. He knew at that point, okay, I got to get on this flight to Austin. When we would arrive at Dell Children's in the mornings, he would start vomiting.
Wow. And so you did 79 lumbar punctures.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we, during COVID or when COVID started, there were very few lumbar punctures that we missed for those entire, I think it was a total of 3 years that we did that lumbar puncture. But we did, after COVID hit, they stopped sedating Will. So he was basically having to curl up in a ball and I would have to hold him, just hold him down basically so they could insert that needle into his lumbar.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then after a while, Will was continuing to get worse. And Niemann Pick will affect your liver and your spleen and your lungs. It will eventually take your ability to walk and to talk. So Will has several episodes of pneumonia that he's developed over the years. He doesn't walk anymore and he doesn't talk anymore. So we realized that that drug wasn't really helping him. So we withdrew from the expanded access program.
Mm-hmm.
And entered a new expanded access program because the trial for the new one had closed as well.
Right. So how did you find out about the new trial?
So that one, every day it was constant. I was coming home. I was looking for ways and therapies to try to help Will. Mm-hmm. The name of that drug, arimoclomol, just kept appearing in my searches and research for therapies for Niemann Pick type C. So it always stayed in the back of my mind. But in order for us to be or to consider that expanded access program, we needed to be off of the original VTS-270, mm-hmm. which was the lumbar puncture drug, for 6 months. And for us, that was a huge risk. You know, what would happen for Will? Would he live long enough during that 6 months? How much worse would he get during that 6 months? And the FDA, right after we had made the decision to stop the VTS-270, the lumbar puncture treatment, said, we are pulling this drug. We're not certain it's helping. We need more data. So that made it very clear for us that that was the best option, was to just go ahead and stop and reach out to another neurologist at the Mayo Clinic that was offering this expanded access program, which was a lot less invasive for Will. So by this time, he had stopped chewing and swallowing, so he was tube fed. So we were able just to open up the arimoclomol capsule, dissolve it in a little water, and give that to him through his feeding tube.
So when, and I've read through, you know, the arimoclomol study and some of the information about kind of what went on with that and where it is now. Tell me a little bit about, so if you, you know, we're doing research now, kind of my bone that I pick with people is the way that things are listed on clinicaltrials.gov, which is kind of the, you know, the place where people are supposed to go to find studies, is mm-hmm. I say it's kind of like a foreign language. Now I've got the paper written on the results of the study, and it's the efficacy and safety of arimoclomol in Niemann-Pick disease type C, results from a double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled, multinational phase 2-3 trial of a novel treatment. Now, so as a mom, when you read that, does that feel like Spanish?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. We really didn't know if arimoclomol would help Will. We really didn't, like you said, it's Spanish to me. All I see is a bunch of letters and numbers when I'm reading all that information. So I did a lot of Googling for the one that I did not understand.
Right.
So really, once we reached out to the research coordinator at Mayo, she did a lot of background history on arimoclomol and the benefits of it. So that made it more clear as to exactly what we may or may not expect Will to be doing.
So did the study coordinators or any of the pharmaceutical companies reach out to your mom's group and let you guys know kind of what was going on or give any information about what a clinical trial is, what this study really was, not in the, you know, in the foreign language version, but did they give you something that laid out, hey, this is what the study is, this is what we're going to be doing, this is what's required of you?
Not from my experience. They may have and very well could have reached out to some other Niemann-Pick moms. We're such a small group. I mean, there's only 75 kids in the United States that are diagnosed with Niemann-Pick. There's like 500 people worldwide. So it's quite possible. There's probably less than 40 kids in the United States right now that are a part of and using arimoclomol as a treatment for Niemann-Pick.
What do you wish if you could have, you know, if you could tell the pharmaceutical companies anything, what would have been helpful as a mom in that period of trying to decide, was a clinical trial a right choice for you and your family? What do you wish you would have had?
Well, really, the only people that ever told us the pros and the cons of the trial were the geneticists that were overseeing the expanded access programs. So there wasn't, at the time that Will was diagnosed, I didn't have a lot of options. The only option at that point was the VTS-270. So of course we were going to jump right on that. I was not familiar with arimoclomol until the Neiman Pick Foundation hosted a webinar on arimoclomol, and it explained exactly what it was and how it worked, or how it was supposed to work or does work. And it just kept weighing on my mind. And so I would do more research, and every, you know, couple weeks, month, I would see arimoclomol popping up in my Google searches and through our mom group, through the Neiman Pick Foundation. Just, I guess, describing how the trial was going. Yeah. And some kids do really, really well on that drug. Will does amazing on that drug. And I think that is dependent on the type of variant that you have in that Neiman Pick gene, which I do wish that that was known prior to us wasting those 3 years on one trial or treatment that clearly was not helping Will. And this one works in a completely different manner and has made him stable for the last almost 2 years.
Wow.
Yes.
So what would you say? You know, this is a drug that, because it's in a little bit of a, you know, it's got fast track designation, it's breakthrough therapy designation, it's a rare pediatric disease designation. So that means, you know, that it's going to get pushed through the FDA faster because of the importance of getting a treatment for these folks, that there's really nothing that's great out there. And with the FDA kind of, you know, sending a letter to Orphazame and saying, hey, you're going to have to wait. We're not sure we're going to approve this, whatever. And then they pulled the application from Europe. Mm-hmm. What do you wish you could tell the FDA? Keep it clean.
Keep it clean.
You don't have to really keep it clean. Just, you know.
Clearly, they don't understand the importance and how quickly our kids are declining. And all of our children develop symptoms at a different rate. They lose skills at a different rate. So in our eyes, in my eyes, it's better to have something that we as parents see working rather than what the FDA says is safe. We know it's safe. We don't see any side effects. We've been doing it for years. And I would challenge them to walk in our shoes for 2 weeks. Just to see what we have to see, the seizures that we have to see, the declines that we have to see, the loss of skills that we have to see day after day.
Mm-hmm. And even, you know, it sounds like that Orphazame was purchased by another company. So it looks like things may be okay. They've got plans to resubmit it to the FDA. Early 2023. But as a mom, how does that feel to kind of know that this stabilizing treatment that has been phenomenal for your son is kind of still in limbo?
It is still in limbo. We actually met with the Mayo Clinic the week before last, and I was incredibly anxious because I wasn't certain that Will was going to be receiving more of the drugs. So they send that to us in a 6-month supply, and we were not certain that he would get to receive it. So the FDA, we had another meeting with them, or our Neiman Pick group had another meeting with them, and they just don't feel that it's working. They say they need more data. They want us to provide data that is in the same numbers as possibly like a child, you know, childhood cancer. And that's just not realistic. Our group is way smaller. We'll never be able to provide the data that it works like the numbers of children with childhood cancer.
Well, it looks like, based on what I read about the letter, is that they didn't like in the Neiman Pick type C CSS five domain assessment. You know, it's based on five different things that they were looking at for efficacy. It was ambulation, fine motor skills, swallowing, cognition, and speech. Uh-huh. And the letter or, you know, the articles I saw said that the FDA had something with the swallowing category, that, you know, some data was not included in the analysis. But as you're saying, is if Will is using tube feeding, that could impact that. So I don't know, you know, without seeing the raw data, what exactly they're not liking about that data point. But it looks like that was how the study was set up. And I would assume that they had conversations with the FDA prior to writing the protocol.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And then Orphazyme at the time met with the FDA to find out exactly what they needed to present and apparently resubmitted and was still declined.
Right. And they withdrew from Europe.
Yes. Yes.
So now with ChemPharm, hopefully it looks like, you know, they're planning on resubmitting. So that's good news for you and yes. For Will, obviously.
Yes.
When you're keeping track, do they have you keeping track of like any diaries or assessments that you have to submit to them?
No, not as part of the expanded access. Now, maybe if you're in the official clinical trial, maybe those standards are different. But for us, initially, we met with the neurologist overseeing the expanded access program. Like every 3 months, we would have to do blood work and they would check his liver and kidney functions and just to make sure that everything was stable, that the drug wasn't increasing anything that was not supposed to be increased. Now we're at once every 6 months, we meet with the Mayo Clinic. They check Will basically, and just, we, of course, we'll have labs. And they will just ask questions. You know, Will, at our most recent visit, the neurologist said seeing Will at that visit from almost 2 years ago was like night and day difference. He said Will is awake and he's alert. Mm-hmm. Of course, he is still losing skills. It's certainly not a cure. But this has probably been the most stable that he's been in the 5 years since diagnosis.
So what kind of things are you seeing that when you talk about him being able to do more things? I know that you've said some of them. And I know just from, you know, social media and stuff, I see your posts and see, you know, what he's doing and so forth. But can you just share with us a little bit about what you're seeing?
Like I said, Will, by the time he had enrolled in the arimoclomol expanded access, he was no longer walking. He was no longer talking. He had a feeding tube. Since then, we've had zero pneumonia episodes since COVID. We did have COVID run through our house, but praise God, he was able to just go to the emergency room, have a quick check, and they allowed us to bring him home. Will is awake more. He will track better with his eyes. So that was always a huge thing. Will just always appeared to be zoned out, like he was looking through me rather than at me. Mm-hmm. But now I can sit with Will and he laughs appropriate at jokes. He laughs at appropriate times in movies. He has a Toby Dynavox machine, which will allow Will to speak basically, and he can activate that with his eyes. He does that as well. He can tell me yes or no, or I want a Coke or a Sprite. He can look at those images on the machine and let me know what he's wanting. Yeah. He can make a few laps around our swimming pool. He is now back in school a couple hours several days a week. It's, I think for us, we just appreciate those small things and keeping Will from being in the hospital more or having choking episodes. Seizures are always a challenge for us. Shortly after diagnosis, probably within a year, Will developed seizures. We were hopeful and were told that arimoclomol seemed to decline the number of seizures, and seizures were an indication of progression of Will's disease. Some days we have no seizures, some days he has seven, but they are not a convulsive type of seizure. They're more of a stiffening type of seizure, and they can last like 15 seconds to 2 minutes, really. So those are a challenge. So we are always meeting with the neurologist and trying to find ways to prevent those from getting worse.
So what would you want if you could tell the pharmaceutical companies or people that are working on the studies, what would you want as a mom that would make this process easier for you?
Let us have access to multiple therapies. I think all of them are beneficial in their own aspect, and I really feel like it would take a cocktail of drugs to stop this disease from getting worse so that it's manageable and it's not terminal. That would be probably the most helpful. I feel like with the VTS-270, there were certain benefits that we saw. It was very invasive. It was very stressful as a mom to have to put Will through that every 2 weeks. The arimoclomol seems to work in a different manner. It seems to save parts of Will's skills that VTS-270 did not, and vice versa.
So what would be something that would make this easier on your entire family?
Or Neiman pick to be like a diabetes where you can treat the drug. Yeah. And it wouldn't be really, Leanne, I don't know, because for me, we just know what we know, and I try not to live in the past. We try to just look for the future. I wish that we were able to still walk and talk. If there were a way to intercept that part, to make a drug that would save those parts of his brain, prevent that from happening, that would be amazing. As a mom, we see Will would have gelastic cataplexy, where he would laugh and just completely collapse to the ground. So his laughter to everyone was amazing, but for us, it was running as fast as you can through the house trying to grab him before he face planted on the hardwood floor.
Never a dull moment.
Never a dull moment.
Oh my goodness. Well, I so appreciate you and your willingness to talk about this and to share Will's story. I appreciate it. You know, my hope is that as we begin to really talk to patients and find out where can we as an industry do things better to make it more more accessible, to make it in more plain, clear English so that people can understand what it is, in some of these concepts that, you know, after studying them for years, it still is like reading a sushi menu written in Japanese.
It would be much easier if the pharmaceutical companies reached out to the Neiman pick parents or to any parent or patient and just let them know in normal, everyday terms exactly what their drug can do for that patient and how it can benefit them. Because really, without doing our own research, we may not know.
Yeah. So more clear communication is what I'm hearing from you, so that you have an understanding, like, this is what we think this drug might do for you. And even, you know, as far as inclusion, exclusion criteria, what do you have to get in? What's going to keep you out of the study? So that, you know, I've also seen some people that are kind of hanging their hopes on a study and they don't know that they don't qualify. They just assumed it was a study and they could get in.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Certainly. And I do feel like there are exclusions, and possibly even at this point, no one can get into the expanded access or clinical trials for Niemann-Pick right now, because I'm pretty certain the FDA has all therapies on hold for Niemann-Pick, which is essentially childhood dementia. Right. That's how we refer to it. So if anyone has ever had a family member with dementia, that's what we're experiencing as parents, but only in our children.
Yeah. Well, my thoughts and prayers are with you and Will and your entire family.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And hopefully we can get some great answers for you guys and continue to make this process easier for parents and families so they can get the care that they're desiring for their loved ones.
That would be amazing. Simple, right? What's that saying? Keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly. Following my conversation with Jessica, she sent me a follow-up message, and it said this. She said, the FDA has denied every single therapy or treatment that has been presented to them on behalf of Niemann-Pick type C. Really, for us, the risk of a drug and possible side effects far outweigh the outcome that we're destined for. For us, having something is better than having nothing. Our children are going to die. Having a treatment that gives us hope for his life far outweighs any risk that has been presented as a side effect. This is true for any drug, for any pharmaceutical company that Will has been part of. So as we consider the benefit, it's important to get that patient's perspective. In this instance, most kids with Niemann-Pick pass away by the time they're in their teens. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of The Clinical Research Coach. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd love it if you'd subscribe and leave a rating and a review. I truly hope that you got something out of this episode that can help us all work towards our goal of making a meaningful difference in the lives of others.